Good morning. I represent Terrence Seawolf. This is a case about the suppression of evidence obtained pursuant to a search warrant. There are two points I really want to make. The first is that the search warrant lacked probable cause and the presumption is overcome because it's got a lot of facts. It's the opposite of many of the search warrants that are considered bare bones. It has a lot of facts, but there's no quality to those facts. There's a lot of quantity, but no quality. And the reason is that there's just a series of incidents. Seeing Mr. Seawolf going to this place, no one sees packages exchange hands. No one says Mr. Seawolf's ever had drugs before or during this period. There's simply no one says that there's no phone calls that really connect him up in the way that there was with Freeman and Sylvia McClutchie. That is, police stop, take money, she's calling Freeman later. So for all those reasons, this is not like these other cases. It's really the polar opposite.
As I see the evidence here, we've got an affidavit in support of the search warrant that establishes his presence at a known drug packaging house on multiple occasions with the kingpin of the organization. Why isn't that enough?
Well, I think, Judge, it's not enough because of the analysis in Sibrin. And Sibrin says just being associated with drug addicts isn't enough. Now, drug addicts in that context, Judge, are customers. Somebody who's associating with customers, there's nothing to say here that he could have known, that Freeman could be a friend, just somebody he happens to see. There are plenty of meetings.
Well, the fact that there may be an innocent explanation doesn't vitiate the support for the warrant, especially under the deferential standard of review that we've got.
I think, Judge, when you have the failure to really have any of the kinds of information we see in any of the other cases, Caldwell, Curry, Garcia, McKeotuk, any of those, that's one problem. But the other problem is that we have these material omissions from the agent regarding CW1. In his search warrant affidavit, CW1 is presented as, okay, he's got a criminal background like a lot of informants. There are issues with him, but he's working, he's fine. In the criminal complaint in that case, we see all these other facts that he was indicted in 2007, something not revealed before, that he's charged with possessing, that he's pleading guilty and he's trying to work this off. He's failed to remain in contact with the agents. He's been arrested for a drug crime, and the police with whom the federal agents are working think this guy's dealing drugs and guns. That's certainly information that the magistrate judge had to be told. That's the essence of his reliability, that's the essence of undercutting his reliability. And the magistrate judge should have been told this. This isn't some kind of negligence, Judge. This is reckless or intentional. It's admitted. There's no issue about whether it happened. There's no issue in which it's contended to be an accident or mistake. I think coupled with the bare bones nature of these allegations, that's why there's no probable cause, and that's why the Leon exception should not apply.
If the warrant application included the information about the status of the confidential informant as a criminal, what about this other information that you're saying was omitted contributes any further to that fact, which may or may not undermine his credibility?
The other fact that was omitted, Judge, is that while CW1 knew everyone in that case, he didn't know Mr. Seawolf. There's all this talk about Mr. Sewell being a gangster disciple because it was listed on his IDOC, on some IDOC record. But this guy, CW1, who's supposed to be so involved, he doesn't know Sewell, and that's omitted too. So I think when you combine those two omissions with what I believe to be very sketchy information, it's meetings, it's going from one place to another. There's no solid evidence of even hearsay that drug sales happened, Judge. That possession of drugs. There was possession of drugs, possession of firearms. We don't have, like in a lot of these affidavits that the court says are very weak, I stole crystal meth from this guy.
Was it disclosed in the warrant that the informant did not know Sewell?
No, Judge. It was not. And that is one of the problems. So there's none of the kind of... even in the beer bones affidavits, as I've said, there's none of the kind of really hardcore of statements of seeing something unlawful. All there is yes, this guy goes to the place that the agents have identified as the packaging house of Freeman's. We don't know how many other people are going there. We don't know if there are other if there's a friendship relationship, and we're entitled to know that in the absence of anything saying hearsay or otherwise. He's got drugs, he's got guns, he dealt drugs. Even the incident with Bell and Trevino, where they're saying he's delivering drugs, nobody sees anything exchange hands, and magically, when her car is searched, there are no drugs. So I think in the failing of all of that, there is no good faith here, and the Gates standards haven't been met, and I guess I'm going to reserve the rest of my time, Judge.
That's fine. Thank you. Ms. Stryker.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Sarah Stryker on behalf of the United States. The search warrant here had probable cause, more than sufficient probable cause. The defendant has raised the issue of the cooperating witness. The defendant said that the government has somehow admitted to omissions. That is certainly not correct. The government has not said that there were any omissions about the cooperating witness in the search warrant affidavit. In addition, the defendant did not raise this issue about the cooperating witness until his reply brief in the district court. The defendant did not request a Franks hearing on this issue in the district court. And in any event, the information provided by the cooperating witness was not material to the finding of probable cause in this case. The cooperating witness is described in the affidavit as nothing more than a person who is familiar with the hierarchy of the drug trafficking organization and a person who is familiar with some of the members of that drug trafficking organization. Nowhere in the affidavit does it state that the cooperating witness knew every person in the drug trafficking organization. And there are many, many other facts in the search warrant affidavit that pertain directly to Mr. Sewell, to the defendant, that established probable cause in this case.
If he identified someone, I guess the CW1 identified some people that he knew?
That's correct.
What was that association? What were they talking about?
Excuse me, Your Honor. He identified some members of the drug trafficking organization as members of the Gangster's Disciples gang, which the leader of the drug trafficking organization, Rondell Freeman, was a member of the Gangster's Disciples, as was the defendant.
But he claims that because he omitted Sewell, didn't know him. I just wonder if that's material or just he happened to know a few people who didn't know a lot of people. I don't know what came out there.
It was certainly not material that the cooperating witness did not know the defendant in particular. The cooperating witness, the affidavit does not say that the cooperating witness knew every single person in the organization, and the affidavit certainly didn't mislead the issuing judge into thinking that the cooperating witness had identified the defendant.
When was Freeman, arrested? the criminal, relative to all of this?
Yes. The criminal complaint was in December of 2007, and that is an important fact because the search warrant affidavit that's at issue here was in March 2007, approximately 9 months prior to that criminal complaint.
Prior to what?
To the criminal complaint against Mr. Freeman.
Yeah, so Freeman was later then.
Yes,
but they're obviously watching this guy. I don't quite understand. I remember the Freeman. We've had him here before, I believe. And he had a pretty big operation, as I recall. Freeman did.
That's correct.
A lot of money. Didn't he have... Isn't he the one that had lots of kids and lots of money in his apartment?
Maybe Your Honor, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that, and that's
all right,
not
well,
in the record.
The only reason I'm asking that, because I wondered to what extent they're watching Freeman and the people around him and why he was arrested later. What was going on? You may not know any of that.
I apologize, Your Honor. Those facts are not in the record, and I'm not familiar with that. I can say that in the affidavit, the affiant does recount the investigation into the prolific drug trafficking organization run by Mr. Freeman. That's given as background information, and then the affidavit moves into the specific investigation into the defendant. And that the investigation into the defendant, as set forth in the affidavit, reveals many facts which, taken together, were more than sufficient to establish probable cause, including intercepted phone calls related to drug trafficking that the defendant was either a participant in or was referred to, surveillance of the defendant at a known drug packaging location on 7 occasions, and also observations of the defendant engaging in possible drug transactions. These facts, taken together, clearly established solid probable cause in this case. Unless the court has any further questions, I will end by asking the court to affirm the probable cause finding of the magistrate judge and the district court in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Saltzman, how much time? You have 2.5 minutes.
More than usual. The omissions, when the government wrote its brief, it said that the omissions I raised about CW1's past and lack of and double dealing weren't raised in below. And I pointed out in my reply brief that they were raised in my reply brief below fully. And they were in my reply brief because the government put in its brief, R33 at page 10, note 5, exactly what I quoted. They admit it, and they say there's no admission that the agent knew this and it was withheld. They put it in that this was all the information. CW1 knew everybody in this case except Mr. Sewell. That's not disclosed. It's not like he just knew Freeman. He knew all the players.
How many were there?
There were...
That he knew all of them, that you know he knew all of them.
There were 10, I believe there were 10 or 12 people charged in this case, Judge. And there was an active... He knew people at the Cabrini Green place where the drugs were being distributed. And by the way, nobody sees Mr. Sewell at that location.
He's a supplier. That wouldn't be unusual.
Well, no, he's a customer. See, that's the other thing, Judge. We don't know if he's a supplier or a customer. In fact, the agent doesn't know that. He says very early on in his affidavit that, you know, he may be a supplier, he may be a customer. There's all of this came to the site, I believe.
What's the cause situation? Do we have to know for sure whether he's one or the other?
No, Judge, the reason you don't is because of the lack of specificity. It's not he brought these packages. It's none of that. It's all of this suppositions. This is an affidavit of no muscle but great flagellants, and that's what I think the problem is here. So I. Anything further? Thank you.
Thank you. And our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.